I knew it was going to do that. You can't plug one in live without it shooting back at you. But I've had that experience before. All right. Thank you, Jeremiah. Appreciate it. I want you to open your Bibles to the last chapter of John. We just finished up last week, and I'm just going to kind of use it for a bridge to kick over to where I'm going to start off this morning. So again, go to the last chapter of the gospel as John gives it. Again, we appreciate some of you that might be visiting. It is good to see Anthony, and I'm going to call her Sister Collins. Good to see. These are our young people. They're back visiting with us today, and we're so glad to have them. I was just up with them at First Baptist in Hammond, Indiana, and they just treated me so nice. I appreciate it. And many of you know the large ministry of First Baptist Church in Hammond, and they're able to come with us. They pretty much started off here with us, and God's using them up there in a mighty way, a tremendous way on staff there at First Baptist. And so we appreciate them being with us today. Again, open your Bibles to the last chapter of John. Excuse my throat clearing this morning. That'll probably go on continuous like it does. The Lord Jesus is giving instruction here in the last few verses we covered last week. He's told Peter to follow him, but Peter's like most of us. He wanted to know what he was going to tell John to do. He wanted to compare that, see if he was, if John was getting easier than him. That's our human nature, isn't it? But anyway, Jesus makes a statement then that causes some gossip to fly around. It is amazing today how that a little gossip gets enlarged on, gets perverted and twisted. It sure does, still does. And it even did in the day of Jesus. And so Peter's asked, what's John going to do? And the Lord's kind of told him, none of your business. You follow me. But we drop down just to kind of get a start here this morning in verse 22, John 21. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, that's the answer he gave Peter. You could paraphrase it, and if we were saying it, we'd have said, that's none of your business, Peter. The Lord was a little kinder than that, but he said, what is that to thee? That'd be good advice for us today. Do what the Lord told us to do and quit worrying about whether somebody else is doing or not. We're not their policemen, amen? Anyway, says in verse 23, here's the way the gossip spread now. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren. That means they got on Facebook and all their cell phones. And no, it's worse today. It's worse today. Abroad among the brethren. And that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, we finished the book of John, and the statement here, if he tarries till I come. Now, that's caused some folks to say, well, Jesus didn't keep his promise. John was supposed to live till Jesus come. No, that's not what he said. John corrects that himself. That's not what he said. But he said, if, until I come. That's what's that to you, Peter? Now, there is a real sense that John did see the coming of Jesus. He saw that when he was glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John saw that. But more than that, and where I'm going to bridge to this morning is the book of Revelation. Last book in the Bible, written by John. Now, what is the book of Revelation about? It's about Jesus coming again. Who saw it? John saw it, and he wrote it as he saw it. And we are going to do something. Some of you have asked me to do this, and I've done it several times in my ministry, I have taught through the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I have taught it in the college. I have taught it in Sunday school. Perhaps even years ago, taught it on Wednesday night. And I've said no to a number of you that have said something about it. I said, it's too much. I've done it too many times. Even though I admit every time you go through, you get more. That's like the rest of the Bible. You never use it up. Not only that, current events and what's happening in the world throws a lot of light on some verses we might have had a hard time understanding before. So I'm going to start off this morning on the book of Revelation again. And the question might be why. I can think of several reasons. One of them is, I hope it's the last time. Not that I'm hoping to die, but I'm hoping that Jesus is going to come before I get through, amen? And he could, he sure could. And I'm not going to be in any hurry about it. Most of you think he will come before I get through. I understand that, and that's okay, probably the case. But with all that said, I won't stick with it necessarily every week. Sometimes something else will get on the front burner, and I'll cover another subject. But basically, you can put out the word, the preacher's going through the book of Revelation again. And so bring your Bible, that's all it takes to be prepared, and try to follow along with us best you can. And again, I have done it a number of times, but I realize that you never use it up, as I just said, and there'll be a lot of light. Current events today are throwing a lot of light on what's going on. I just give you this observation. I may say something about it pretty soon, but all the news last few days and all the attack on the president and everything else, but all the news having to do with Turkey. It wasn't that many months ago, hardly 2 or 3 years ago at the most, that a lot of people were saying that that Turkey's going to be in our camp when it all comes down to the nations gathering against Jerusalem and all that. And I said, no, they won't, because the Bible says no. They'll be in the other, on the other side, the other group. Well, they're shifting now. Listen, men don't like it, but they keep fulfilling the Bible whether they like it or not. Their actions just keep moving them the way God said it would move. It does take time, end time, for things to happen. And so sometimes we say, well, you know, we want it tomorrow, next week. No, God's still in charge. Now, I'll admit, if I was doing it, I'd do it different. I'd really mess things up. You know, I probably would. But God's not going to make any mistakes. But he is going to fulfill his word, no matter what the world says. When it's all said and done and we look back, we're going to find out that it fell into place, and just like God said. So we're going to start on the book of Revelation. I'll give you a little information about it, and I'll give you some helpful things. Do I know all about it? No. I don't know anybody that does know all about it. But I think we of all people should be able, in this generation we live in these last days, in the last days of what we can call the church age, we ought to know more than anybody, any Christians that's ever lived about it. We got more reason because we got more to compare it to. For instance, can you imagine early Christians, even 100 years ago, 200 years ago, reading stuff in the book of Revelation and saying, how could that be? You know, the book of Revelation will tell us about two witnesses that's going to show up in the tribulation period. And that the whole world is going to see and hear them, know about them, and hate them, by the way. But can you imagine Christians 150 years ago saying, how could the whole world see two men on the street in Jerusalem? Well, boy, we know the answer to that, don't we? Satellite TV shows us everywhere, anything, all the time, any kind of way. Now, so many things in the Bible that was laying there, now we can look back and see the fulfillment. See, it was there all the time. And Book of Daniel, of course, tells us for the last days, be a time of knowledge increase. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, don't we see that? It is amazing. You can get on one of these airplanes in a few hours. You can cover 1,000 miles and be somewhere else. But I believe knowledge shall be increased is definitely pointing to the computer age. They say knowledge, and it's hard for me to believe this too, but knowledge has been doubling for so many years, so quickly. There was a time it would double every 10 years, and then it would double every 5 years, and then it got to where it was doubling every year, and now they say it's doubling in a few months or less. And that is kind of hard to get a hold of. But that's where we're at. Now, let me say a few things about Revelation. To begin with, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals him. It is feared by a lot of folks. It's probably one of the less read books, even in churches today. I've seen stats where preachers said, I leave the book of Revelation alone. I don't say anything about it. I don't think we can understand it. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. The book is promised a blessing just to read it. Drop down here in verse 3, chapter 1. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, somebody said, well, you know, that was written probably about 97. Yeah, that's right. And he says the time's at hand. It's been at hand ever since. And the truth is, God measures time a little different than us and has a lot more patience than we do. And so he's telling us here that we get a blessing just to read it or to listen to it, to hear it. And it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave unto him. Unto who? Unto Jesus. To do what with? To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sat and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, we take the book of Revelation literal where we're supposed to. We take it where it signifies something, where it's supposed to. Put the two together, you get the best view and understanding of the book of Revelation. Now, it's got 22 chapters, 404 verses, and written probably in 90 to 97, right in that neighborhood, by John the Revelator. And you got to remember something about John. He often referred to himself kind of shyly. He referred to himself as the one that leaned on Jesus' breast or the one whom Jesus loved. He didn't brag on himself, but we saw this as we studied the book of John. He once in a while did reference himself. And God chose him then to give us the wrap-up book of the Bible. What I mean by that, if you get a working knowledge of the book of Revelation, it will cause the rest of the Bible to fall into place so much better. Because see, you're seeing how it all turns out. So if you know how it turns out, you can look and say, I see this heading that way and this is heading that way. And it's all going to culminate. It's all going to be fulfilled in the book of Revelation. Now, you're going to read often in the Bible about the second coming of Jesus. But in the book of Revelation, you see it. You see the details of it. You see it clearer than any other place in the Bible. In John 14, he said, if I go away, I will come again. He is coming again. Now, we see that coming again as we get into the book of Revelation. Some of it is history, but most of it is prophecy, future. Most of it is. And he's on the Isle of Patmos. Now, the Isle of Patmos is not all that big, about 6 miles wide, I think, and I don't know, 10 miles long or something. It's not real big, but it was a place where Rome would sometimes send prisoners. See, it's like an automatic man-made or God-made prison house. A lot of nations have used islands to put a prison on because the water was the best wall of protection you could get. different prisons in America that way, earlier years especially. So prisoners being punished were sometimes sent to an island. If friends didn't bring them some food, many times they would starve to death and die out there. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. It is said in history, and we can't prove this, but if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can read where all the disciples were martyred, and they tried to martyr John. The story goes, at one time, they prepared to boil him in oil, and somehow something happened, and he was saved from that. Of course, that would be God's sovereign doings there, his will. Somehow he lived until God gave him the visions that he wrote down, and the message that he wrote down from that prison, as it were, from that isle. And that's what we'll study in the book of Revelation, as to what John saw and what John was told to write and did write. Now, the date of its being written is important. I've already mentioned 90 to 97, because big religion don't like to be identified in their wrong and corruption. And the book of Revelation does that. It clearly does identify false religion. Chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the book of Revelation give so much detail on that they try to move the date different from when it was written to try to keep it from identifying them. They try to put the stories in the book of Revelation, or the information like in chapter 17 and 18 concerning religious Babylon and ecclesiastical Babylon and commercial Babylon, they try to move that back into the days of early Rome, so it won't identify what happened in the Dark Ages and other stuff that is going to be identified. So the date is important. If I was teaching you a college class, I would tell you ahead of time, that's a question that's going to be on the test. You're going to have to get the date right, because that's very important. Now, you'll find three views given by even some Christians. I think there's only one view of it, the one we'll teach, but there'll be three views that are identified in Christian college circles today. Of course, our view that we take and believe is right of the three major views is the premillennial view. We believe the Lord Jesus has to come back before the millennial reign. There are some that believe in what's called postmillennialism. They believe he's coming back after the world gets good enough to welcome him back. Somebody's not reading the newspaper and watching the news when they believe that. Then there is what's called an amillennial view. Now, I'll go back and identify the word a little bit. Pre means before, of course. Mill means thousand. If you go and take your car to have it souped up, like I used to do as a kid, you'd take it to the machine shop and tell them, take off 50 thousandths off this head. Mill the head. Did you ever hear that term, mill the head? Well, the mill represents the thousand. And so pre means before, mill means thousand, annum means years. So what we're saying when we say we take the premillennial view is we believe before the thousand year reign, Jesus has to come back. It's his reign. It's his kingdom that he's going to set up. We don't believe we're bringing in the kingdom. Now, you got a whole lot of religion that believes they are, but they're sure not facing reality at all. We're not bringing in the kingdom. We're going to receive the kingdom. We're going to be here when the Lord sets it up. But he can do it without my help. I'm going to do all I can to win every soul I can, but I'm not kidding myself. The world is not getting better. It's getting worse. Amen. I'll get off of that and get on it later. But those three major views, and so we are taking the premillennial view that Jesus is the king. He has to come back to set up his kingdom. And no kingdom without the king, that sort of thing. Now, in these 22 chapters, we're going to tell you that the key verse to the whole book of rightly dividing it, and the scripture tells us to rightly divide, right? Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you don't rightly divide, you'll be all mixed up on everything. You'll be trying to apply verses that don't apply to you. But anyway, the key verse of the whole book of Revelation, you'd be real good. Now, I'm not necessarily telling you got to write in your Bible like I do mine, but this would be a good scripture to underline or maybe even make a note in your margin. The key verse to understanding the book of Revelation is not that hard. It's found in the first chapter, and it's verse 19. And if you haven't already marked that, it would be wise for you to do. I'll read it, even though we'll come back to it later as we come by verse. But verse 19 says, write the things. Now, who's being told this? John is. Write the things which thou hast seen, number one. Three parts to it. Things you've seen, number one. Things which are, number two. And the things which shall be hereafter, number three. So if you get these three divisions as you go through the book of Revelation, you'll find the rest of the story fits every part. And it'll help you rightly divide the book of Revelation, help you to stay on track. And again, I say to you, I don't know, and I don't know anybody that can absolutely guarantee that they understand every word, but I want to tell you this, we can sure understand the big picture and the big important things and the things that are clear. And we'll do that as we try to go verse by verse. Now, it's a book of numbers. It is especially a book of sevens. You're going to find so many series of sevens in the book of Revelation. Now, most of us know, and we've heard enough preaching through the years to hear preachers say, that seven is God's number of completion. It is. It is a number that identifies God in so many ways. It identifies him in creation. If you'll ever study how God marks creation, study the gestation periods, anywhere from insects to humans, and see how they divide by sevens. You've heard me say this before. Even in the world of music, there's only seven notes on the piano over here. Just seven. And if you jump more than that, you jump an octave to the eighth. Now, I don't know much about it all. If I was over there playing the piano, I'd be playing in the cracks. I don't know that. But I know you study music, you'll find out it's identified by a series of sevens. Supernatural number shows up so many times. Now, I joke about it sometimes. Science, biological, medical science tells us that of all the thousands and I don't know how many cells in the human body, that all of them are renewed every 7 years. That means if you've been married 14 years, you've been married to second wife now. She was changed totally. So was he. Now, I'm playing with you a little bit. But we see God's stamp is identifying his name, his creative power throughout creation. I've told you before, and I think I mentioned it last week. Years ago, I had to study entomology a lot, and that's the boredest subject I ever got a hold of, but I had to do it to take a big state test. And I discovered a key. Back in those days, it's different now. I know they do it more electronically now. Back in those days, they gave you a lot of multiple choice questions. So they'd give you a question, maybe concerning a gestation period of an insect, I hate to use the word, but a roach comes to mind. Nasty creature they are. And you had to know how many eggs they laid and how many was in an egg and a lot of numbers. And so you'd have these questions and then you'd have these choices down there. And that's just too much to remember, folks, just too much. But I had been studying my Bible, been saved a while, and studied my Bible, and I discovered God's number seven. And I just made an assumption that if God was the creator, he was the creator of everything, and if sevens worked in so many places, it'd have to work in the insect world as well. So I cheated a little bit. I went through there, and every time I'd have a number, I'd divide it by seven. If it divided equally by seven, I'd pick that one. And I'd divide another one, I'd pick that one. I just blew that test right out of the water. I won. I mean, I passed. What I'm saying is God's creation has his mark on it. You heard me teach here in class, and I won't open it up now, but the Bible has the mark of sevens in it. It'll tell you, that's why if you'll take the perversions of the Bible, we stick with the old King James here that God has used, and the mark of sevens is in it. It will identify itself as God's supernatural book if you'll do the arithmetic. But others won't. And I can show you right in the English. Now, I know we can go back to the Greek and the Hebrew and Latin and all that business, but hey, God has used English, and he's used the English Bible across this world with missionaries and getting souls won and great churches started and all that. So God's picked to use it, so that's the one I go by. And it has the mark of sevens in it. The structure made, and I have taught it before, and I don't have time to open it up right now. Maybe I will later. But this book of Revelations, full of sevens, seven churches, seven candlesticks, seven stars, seven angels, seven trumpets, and just keeps on going, going, going. It's the book of sevens. Somebody has said that it's not only God's number of completion, it's the number God has sworn by. This statement has been made that when God says, I swear by myself, he is saying, I have sevened myself. I have put myself under the obligation to complete, to not change. So as we take verse 19 and divide up the whole book of Revelation, realizing that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, as verse 1 says, he's going to reveal himself. Strange how wrong information gets going. I've had folks say to me, well, that's a secret book. It's a dangerous thing to read that and all that kind of silly stuff. No, the Lord wants to reveal himself. Doesn't say, you know, we call it, you hear the word apocalypse used. That's just a big $95 word to keep you from understanding. All it really means is revelation. And Jesus is revealing himself. He wants to reveal to us. He's not hiding it from us. He's revealing. And so if we get that approach, your approach to everything is so important. I approach the book that if I don't understand it, I'm the one wrong. It's my fault. I approach the book on faith that it is God's word. He said what he meant what he said, and I can accept it as his word. And if I don't understand something, I ought to work at it and pray about it and ask God for light on it instead of trying to say, well, it shouldn't have said that. Let me change it to this. And that's what you have with too many preachers and churches today. Well, a better translation would be, I hate that statement. I don't accept that statement. I believe this is the one God wanted me to have, and he's proved it by using it, so you won't hear me doing that. My time is up. Another story came to mind, but I better not tell it. Time is up.